home tonight against Carolina. NFL Thursday Night Football, Carolina at Pittsburgh. And then coming up on Sunday, the Bears meet the Lions at noon. The Packers host the Miami Dolphins at Lambeau at 3:30. Now that WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Thursday, November the 8th. Cloudy for the morning, partly sunny for the afternoon. Today's high 38. Tonight, light snow after midnight, maybe an inch. Overnight low 28. Friday, cloudy and cold, a little bit more light snow, maybe another inch of accumulation. Friday's high 35. This morning, 33 in Kenosha, 34 in Racine, 35 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11. The morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Well, yesterday we were talking politics. Today we're talking composting. So draw whatever conclusions you like about that. Very sincerely, we are talking about the importance of composting because of a really exciting project that is now underway in the village of Sturtevant. So first of all, as you can probably gather from the topic, this is the monthly visit of Nan Calvert to our program, and Nan always comes up with a topic that is related to the environment and various concerns and issues that need to be important to all of us. And Nan has brought three guests with her that we will introduce in just a moment. But Nan, I wanted to ask you first of all to just explain how this topic and concern sort of came to mind and the idea for this particular show.
Well, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to say that composting is a passion of mine. It's so very important for all of us to do for any one of a number of reasons. And our three illustrious guests sitting close to me will tell you about that. But Rose Woodruff and I, she's here today, ran into each other this summer, and she told me about this initiative that she and Linda Busha have going on in Sturtevant, and I asked them to be on the radio to, you know, give us a heads up. What's going on? Why is this important, and how can people get involved? And so that's why we're here today.
Very good. So we have actually two representatives of the Sturtevant Beautification Commission, Rose Woodruff and Linda Busha. And then a third guest has joined us as well, someone by the name of Melissa, what's your last name?
Tashin. Love Tashin with a passion.
All right. Melissa Tashin. I couldn't read my handwriting, but that looks good. Melissa Tashin, who is the owner and operator of Compost Crusaders. And Compost Crusaders is involved very much in this initiative that is just getting underway in Sturtevant. So we welcome all three of you to the morning show. And, of course, Nan, we're always glad to have you here on the morning show.
Thank you.
Let's find out, first of all, before we get into the whole matter of composting and what it is and why it is important and how it is getting underway in this new fashion in Sturtevant, let's first of all find out about the Sturtevant Beautification Commission. When was it created, and what is its mission, and what kinds of things are you involved in, even aside from the specific matter we're talking about today?
Well,
here's Rose.
I'll make an attempt at that. The Sturtevant, it's actually the Sturtevant Beautification Committee, and we started in 2003. Linda and I both live in Sturtevant, and one day I was walking by the park, and on the corner where there was a bed full of weeds instead of flowers, and so I went to the village board and asked them if they would agree to having a committee to start in that park with making a nice flower bed there. And so from there, they gave permission, and then Linda, I cornered Linda to be in my co-chair. And so from there, we've been working, and our goal is really to educate people in Sturtevant about good environmental practices when it comes to gardening, and to beautify the village to make it a more enhancing place for visitors and residents. So we have gardens, flower gardens in all the parks in the village. And also, when we started out, we wrote a lot of grants. We wrote $10,000 worth of grants to buy the planters, to pay for the initial flowers. So we were pretty much self-sustaining. I think in the beginning, the village gave us a very nominal contribution, but the rest was all, we went around to all of the rotaries and asked for donations. And then one of our big projects was to purchase planters, which are stationed along Durand Avenue and Wisconsin. And we have a project there with the businesses. We order the flowers from Milliger's. They have always supported us with a discount. And we make the decision about the plants, and we plant them in the spring, but the businesses pay for them, and they maintain them. So they water them. And then we also, along the way, we started a community garden, which Linda can tell you about.
Right. Oh, cool. Yeah, it was several years ago. We got permission from the village of Sturtevant to start a small area right by the village hall. We had six garden plots that we made available to Sturtevant residents for a nominal fee. And it was very popular, so the next year we expanded it, so we now have 12 garden plots available. And it's been a big success. They're every year. People sign up and get their plot. They're 10 by 20 foot plot, and they grow vegetables. The village has now built a fence around the plots, which is great. Keeps the rabbits out, the squirrels, whatever was eating their vegetables, and it's been a big success.
Very good. And where is that located again?
That's right by the village hall.
Okay, very good.
In Sturtevant.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I've noticed that as I've come by.
Right.
So at some point, apparently your interests began to go beyond just the matter of making Sturtevant prettier, not to minimize that as a very commendable goal, but now you're expanding into something that isn't so much about making things pretty as, in a sense, making the village, in a sense, environmentally a little healthier. When did the idea come about that composting was something that was worth exploring?
We belong to the Visioning Greater Racine group. I was more initially involved with them, actually on their board for a time, but then because Linda joined also and right. We got involved in them, and so they had the Visioning Greater Racine is maybe 2 years old now, and they broke off now into what they call wave teams. And one of the wave teams was an environmental sustainability. So, of course,
we're both part of that. That's right.
That was just right for Linda and I. Right. So, and we've belonged to other, like Greening Greater Racine and the Sierra Club and other. I've been real involved at the Eco Justice Center, and Linda is now also. Right. So other environmental groups. Since I went to become a master gardener in 1997, and since then, I've been involved in almost every environmental group that is available. So,
as part of the environmental sustainability wave team, We identified, that maybe Sturtevant would be a good place to start a pilot program because it's a small area. And so we went to the board and they supported it, put money in the budget. And so we're starting this pilot program next year along with Melissa.
This specific project involving composting.
Yes.
Food composting.
Right. And exactly what is this, at least the sort of in the its initial stages, look like? What kind of a compost program are we talking about?
Well, individuals will sign up in January. They'll get they'll pay a nominal fee. They'll get a bucket that they keep at their home along with a supply of compostable bags that are in the bucket. They'll put all their food compost or their food waste into that bag, and there'll be a central location at the village hall where they'll drop off the bag when it's full. And then Melissa's Compost Crusaders truck will come on a weekly, bi-weekly basis to pick up, empty the dumpster, and take it off.
And the magic begins
yes.
there.
Yes,
yes, it's magic. Yeah.
All right.
And the village already has a big compost program for yard waste. In fact, they are beginning to turn it in to soil at their center, too. So this is just strictly food composting as opposed to yard waste composting.
Right. So this is taking it into another direction or into
another
level. Well, this is a great time for us to bring in Melissa Tashin to talk about her passion, which is composting. So first of all, let's find out a little bit about where you come from originally and maybe just at least in capsule summary, kind of life's arc that's taken you to where you are now.
Sure. Well, I'm originally a Fib. Don't hold it against me. So I grew up like right by O'Hare Airport. So, but I've been in Milwaukee now probably about 12 years. Both my grandparents always had a garden. One was a very avid composter and kind of taught me what composting was all about, and started kind of with my household plants, putting eggshells in my household plants, and then it just kind of morphed from there. And so at one point I was living in River West in Milwaukee and created a garden in my front yard and a compost bin in my front yard. And when I moved from that location, I lost all of that. And I was like, man, I cannot go back. Like, I feel so good when I do this. It's not that hard. And I just want to keep it going. And when I moved to Bayview, I found that there were other residents that were also looking for a way to properly dispose of their food scraps. And we kind of just banded together, and we were in a perfect area right around Lincoln and KK where there was lots of coffee shops. Oh. And I had a dog I had to walk 3 times a day, you know, because I didn't have a fenced-in yard. And so I got a little red wagon and started picking up 5-gallon buckets of coffee grounds while I was walking my dog. I'm a multitasker. What can I say? I love it. You know, I got to give myself extra stuff to do. So I started doing that, and people started seeing that, and they're like, what are you doing with these 5-gallon buckets? You're crazy. And then they were like, oh, can I help? And from there, it just kind of morphed into a nonprofit called Compost Kids, which set up community compost sites within community gardens in Milwaukee. Did that for about 5 years. That organization is still around and is still an outlet for Milwaukee residents. And within the last 4 years, in 2014, developed Compost Crusader, whose goal is to deal more with commercial, larger entities, more of a post-consumer material. So post-consumer means anything that has hit the plate of an individual. That means cooked meat, bones, dairy, breads, pasta, things that you wouldn't necessarily be able to process in your backyard for fear of odors or animals being attracted to that type of material. And so we actually transport everything to a DNR-certified compost site that's right in Caledonia. It's right by 7 Mile Fair. Great father-son team, Blue Ribbon Organics. Ever get an opportunity to check out their site, it is worth it. See what that transformation looks like. Smell the area around you. Everyone's like, compost, ew, it stinks. It really doesn't if you do it properly. It smells like spring every day, just like fresh, wet earth. It's amazing. And so we actually pay them to take the material off of our hands and process it, just as if we, our current infrastructure of managing our waste stream is to pay a hauler to take the material away from your home or business, and then 9 times out of 10, it's being paid then to landfill. So instead of us paying to landfill it, we're actually paying to have it recycled and reclaimed into a soil nutrient.
Fantastic. Nan, I know I've spoken to the folks at Caledonia. Was that on your program?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a couple of years ago now.
Right. We had a great conversation mm-hmm. about that.
They're amazing people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's backtrack for just a second. And Nan, feel free to chime in if you like. I think it would be really helpful for us to kind of learn the science of composting itself. What kind of a process are we really talking about? What's happening with compost? And along the way, I'd also love to know, how old a practice is this? I mean, is this...
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah. How long has nature been around?
Right, right.
Actually, it is. I mean, it's the soil cycle. It's what happens every single day in the natural world. And right now, we are living in sort of a ramped up time for composting because the deciduous trees have let loose their leaves, most of them anyway, mm-hmm. and and now they're on the ground, and, you know, people shush them off to the magic land of away, mm-hmm. which actually interrupts this whole soil cycle. And so if we can help change the hearts and minds of people about food waste or about leaf matter, leaving the leaves where they are, make your own leaf compost pile, use them for mulch, mulch them with your mower rather than treating them like a waste product, how wonderful would that be for our soil? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best thing for the soil when you think about it. So composting has literally been around since there was life on Earth. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's there's nothing new under the sun, Greg.
Right. Well, so the scientific process, there's right. nothing new. But, I mean, how long have human beings made a concerted effort to be, in a sense, part of this process?
Oh, well, you know, when you think about prehistoric days or whatever, you know, when you think about early humans, they were doing it without actually understanding, right? So they would throw their bones on a pile or whatever it is that they didn't use from an animal that they hunted for food, shelter, clothing, and all that sort of thing. That would go somewhere and decompose. They certainly didn't understand the science of it. So people have been doing it for a long time, but the science of it, I think we focused on for too few decades. I think, Melissa, you might agree that we teach kids about decomposers in the woods and all that sort of thing, but we kind of forget the other lane of traffic about decomposers for organic matter or organic waste products that we produce.
Yeah, so. I think it's part of the science right now is kind of trying to get rid of that ick factor. Mm-hmm. You know, our society loves convenience. They love all of their sanitary wipes and their antibacterial gels and stuff like that.
And it's killing us.
Right. It really is. Yeah. I mean, within a tablespoon of finished compost, you have, I think it's a billion microorganisms that are living in this soil. That's what our plants need to survive. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to survive. We have millions of microorganisms in our gut. You know, that's how we process material. That's how we get nutrients back into our body. You know, and so for us right now, the science is kind of re-educating our existing yard facilities, our existing composters that are handling our yard material, how they can incorporate food scraps in a way that isn't going to have any odors, in a way that is going to be conscious of groundwater runoff and things along those lines, but in a way that then they can actually utilize this finished product back in their fields, back in their community. Compost is a great way to retain water within the soil. So places like Madison, who flooded out horribly this year, you know, places like Shorewood and Whitefish Bay, which I think 5-6 years ago had some horrible flooding problems, compost could be a great additive to be able to reclaim some of that water and prevent stormwater overflow. So it's almost like being able to divert your food scraps is solving two major problems that we're having within the state. One, overflowing landfills, or landfills that are going to be overflowing quite soon. And when you have 30% of what's going in landfills, food scraps? Come on now. I mean, we can really figure out a way to handle that and solve our other problem of stormwater overflow. to me, it's like it's a no-brainer, win-win situation for everybody.
Hmm. So what happens when we are creating compost? What scientifically is happening?
Magic.
It is magic.
Can you be more specific?
No, it's magic.
Okay.
I mean, when I explain it to kids, you know, this is kind of how my analogy goes. You have an apple tree. If we don't eat the apple, if the animals don't eat the apple falls to the forest floor. And then we have fall, where all of the leaves fall on top of the apple. And so you have, those are kind of two major ingredients, right? You got your apple, and then you have your leaves. So your apple is considered your green or your nitrogen source. And then your leaves are considered your brown or your carbon source. But those two ingredients get together, and they make a magical dance along with the worms. So you got your apple on the ground, the leaves cover it. You have some freezing and thawing that's taking place, but all of that insect life that's going on the forest floor, they don't totally go to sleep. They're still very much awake and very much active, and they're actually taking and eating the bacteria that's growing around the apple and taking that bacteria and all of those nutrients back into the root system, which is then reinvigorating that apple tree for next year so that it can grow more apples and everything. And that's my science behind it.
That's a beautiful explanation.
That's pretty much nature, right? Yeah. And all we're doing now is because we're so removed from it right now, because we take this precious ingredient of this process and we landfill it. Now we're trying to re-educate people so that we can incorporate it back into our system again.
Right, and stop interrupting this process.
Yeah, and then composting on a commercial level is just kind of accelerating nature's natural process. We have our greens and our browns, and we actively mix them together to bring in oxygen and provide a very hot temperature, which essentially pasteurizes material. So that we can accept items like meat and dairy and not have to worry about harmful pathogens being transported from the, you know, your initial ingredients to your finished product.
Right. This may sound like a mundane question, but I think we're talking about compost both as a noun and a verb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So will you take those apart for us, please? How do we think of compost as a verb, as something we do? What is it exactly that we do in terms of the verb compost or composting? And then what is the noun?
Yeah.
What exactly does composting produce? What is the compost that we get at the end? What is that?
I mean, and you hit it right on the head. This is an industry problem right now that we're having, is some of this verbiage so that we can properly educate people on what we're trying to explain. For me, the composting as a verb is the act of actually taking two ingredients, your green and your brown source, and mixing them together. It means the act, if you're still kind of composting, even if you're not actually doing the physical act. So if I sometimes think that if you're taking the time to separate your food scraps from your regular landfill waste stream, then you're composting. You're now going to be getting it to a place where it can be composted, or you're diverting, you know. So that's kind of what it means for me. Did you ladies have it, any?
It's decomposition, basically. Yeah. So that happens every day, all the time, every second in the natural world. And what happens when you go to some place like the place that Melissa runs, or other places that have larger composting operations, or even in your own compost bin, you're sort of, in a sense, speeding up the process, because you're providing the materials, but then you're turning your compost. So you add in that mechanical portion of it, that out in the natural world, insects and bacteria and fungus and wind and rain and sun and all of those kinds of things are inputting that to decompose a leaf, a log, a squirrel, or a bird that has died. And so in human terms, we just kind of ramp up the process quite a bit. And I just want to emphasize that when you do composting, the verb part, the noun that you end up with, compost, it really does smell like spring. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of this amazing, dark, rich, brownish black color, and you can stick your hand in it, and it's fluffy and it's wonderful.
It is.
And I can just tell you from personal experience, I have an enormous windrow of compost on my farm. And as you can imagine, with horses, goats, chickens, sometimes people would view that as malodorous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you put that in the end that's, you know, fresh and working, and then you go down to the other end where it has aged for 3 years or 5 years. There is no odor. It just smells like spring. It's just amazing. And, you know, I certainly don't have the kind of ratios that Melissa has between brown and green. It's just, well, I do kind of, but, I mean, it's just composting out there. So, really, I mean, you don't really necessarily have to be immersed in the science of it to get that beautiful end result.
Right, and the end result is like a reward.
It is a reward, hearing you talk, it's right.
And that's part of our goal in Sturtevant, is to educate people not only about not throwing their food waste into the landfill, but the beautiful reward that comes from doing that. And we're going to work hard on encouraging people to use that compost then and their flower gardens and their vegetable gardens, you know, especially the vegetable gardens, to grow the food that's going to sustain them. So when I hear you talking, both of you, it's like, yes, and there's this great reward at the end of it. I mean, it's
and the thing is, there are people out there who want that. You know, they either have food gardens or they have flower gardens or whatever, and they realize that, boy, I need to benefit my soil. I need to enhance it, and you don't have to do it with liquid fertilizers and this, that, and the other thing. You can have this amazing natural product.
Both Rose and I do home composting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we put our leaves in there. We put our food scraps in there. We don't put meat or dairy, things like that. But there is no smell.
No.
And there is no animal problem.
Hmm. Right. So, for instance, in your homes, what does this, where exactly does this happen? I mean, and what are the mechanics of what you're doing in your home?
I have a small container that I keep near my kitchen sink. I'm peeling carrots, apple cores, whatever. They go into that container. Once a day, you carry it out to the nice compost bin that my son-in-law built for me.
Mm.
I keep out in the corner of the yard near my garden. Throw it in there. Maybe throw some dirt over the top of it.
Soil.
Wrong word. Soil, yes. You know, if it hasn't rained for a while, you might add some water to it, you know. Very easy. Mm-hmm. Very easy to do.
And it's literally what you put into it is what you get out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have the time to turn a compost bin and things like that. Well, you don't have to.
No.
Nature will do its thing, you know?
Yes, it will.
If you're not interested in utilizing the finished product and you just want a compost bin as a way to divert your food scraps from the landfill, there's nothing wrong with that. Nature will do its thing. It will just take a little bit longer.
So this is a way to hasten the process.
Yeah, just by turning it and giving it a little bit of attention, you know, taking time to break your material down into smaller pieces. So instead of putting in that whole apple core, chop it down into 6 chunks. You know, the smaller the chunk, the faster the material will break down.
Right.
Could you explain this distinction between this particular project, which involves food composting, and the other composting that apparently is already happening? Why is that distinction important?
So what is it? Wisconsin has done a yard waste ban since 1980, I think. So was the municipalities were, I don't want to say forced, but it was really the municipalities' obligation to handle this particular, for lack of a better word, waste stream. And so municipalities created yard sites. A lot of them are just kind of passive. Some are a little bit more aggressive, depending on how large the facility is. And it was just really a way to keep yard material out of the landfill. And so now there is a different type of DNR permit that is needed in order to accept and process food scraps on a commercial level. If anybody was interested in dabbling, you know, or if you have your own farm, you're able to utilize or process food scraps usually under 50 cubic yards with no permit, especially if you're doing it mainly for your own farm purposes. You're not selling the finished product. But food scraps composting, food scraps have a lot more liquid in them. You know, you think of a vegetable You know, as it starts breaking down, it releases a lot of liquid. And so there is just a little bit more care that you need to do when you're tending to food scraps into your compost bin, just to make sure that there isn't odor problems. You need to have the kind of the right ratio. But while it is a science, it's very forgiving. Mm-hmm. So if you realize, whoa, I've got way too much food scraps here, it's a little stinky, well, you add more of your leaves, you add more wood chips, you maybe turn it to get a little bit more oxygen in there. If there's no activity going on with your compost bin, it's like, wow, I haven't seen any life going on in here. Well, then you need to add more food scraps. You need to add more of a nitrogen source to kind of give it a kickstart for that bacteria. But that's really the biggest difference, is that food scraps just need a little bit more of attention when you're integrating it into, you know, a yard facility.
When Linda was talking about the home composting that she does with food, she mentioned certain things that are not part of it. Can you explain a little more specifically what those things are that people have to be careful either to not use at all in this or to use very sparingly?
Yeah, so when you're doing backyard composting, no meat, no dairy. I even say no breads or pastas because animals are usually attracted to the flour and sugar and stuff like that that might be in breads. Meat can have harmful byproducts as it's decomposing if there's not the right level of heat. Cheese and other dairy products can get really stinky if they're not properly composted, and then as well as evasive weeds. So anything like a creeping charlie or anything where it's a rhizome, you really need to have a lot of heat, or things like garlic mustard that spread very easily by seed. You need to have a lot of heat in your compost pile in order to kill that weed seed, and that's usually not obtained in a backyard bin with a family of 2 to 4 people. You know, your temperatures need to be over 150 degrees for at least 3 consecutive days in order to kill harmful pathogens. And then everything at the compost site at Blue Ribbon Organics, they do quarterly testing as part of their U.S. Composting Council certification as well as part of their DNR certification. So because they're accepting that additional type of material, they really go above and beyond to make sure that there's no harmful pathogens or anything that might be in the finished product. But that's really the main reason why you don't do those type of items in your backyard bin, is because it'll just cause, you just have to pay more attention to it, and it's going to cause potentially you or your neighbors some issues or challenges when it's doing its natural thing.
Right. So explain what this new initiative in Sturtevant has to do with, for instance, the home composting that you are already doing. I mean, does this new initiative mean you don't need to do that anymore, or won't do that anymore, or will you continue to do that, or is this for people who don't want to do that but want to compost in another way? I mean, explain the relationship between the composting that you are already doing and what this new initiative offers to people in Sturtevant.
Well, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's for people that maybe don't want to do home composting, can't do it. Maybe they live in an apartment. Maybe they just don't garden. They don't have the ability to do it. So this is an opportunity for them to be part of this and keep the food waste out of the landfill.
So
I will probably still compost in my backyard, but if I wanted to compost other things that I don't want to put in my backyard, maybe I'd be part of this program also.
Yeah, so like we could take compostable products. So if you go out to eat at like Bel Air Cantina and you take some of your tacos home, there is they have their to-go ware is compostable. If you're having a party, you know, and you're providing compostable plates, you know, that's now something that you could divert through this particular program, because compostable products, again, they need just more heat in order to break down properly. It's going to take forever to break down in your backyard bin. But at a commercial compost site, it's like lickety-split, you know. Right. It's just part of that natural process. So for me, I own a organics hauling company, and I still compost in my backyard. That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to keep the footprint low. But knowing that there are restrictions to what we can accept in our backyard bins, this is just an additional outlet to really make sure that you're keeping your footprint as low as possible.
I agree, and that's exactly the way we're looking at it too. And And we're very supportive of anyone who wants to compost in their backyard. And there may be some education on that along with it, too. We're hoping to have this be a big big picture education in Sturtevant for our residents. So
right.
it's just an opportunity. Many people just never give a thought. I mean, they just think when you scrape your plate, you just scrape it in your garbage bin, and who knows where it goes and who cares where it goes. So that's the pilot program part of it. So we'll see. We're going to be sending out notices and residents' tax documents in the next month or so, inviting them to come to a meeting in January to talk about this and to be a part of it. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
Hopefully this will be a successful pilot program and other municipalities in the visioning a greater Racine area can follow suit.
Hmm. So remind us again about kind of the mechanics of how this will work for the typical person living in Sturtevant who wants to be a part of this. What will they be given and what will they be invited to do?
Sure. They'll get a real nice 3-gallon bin that Melissa's going to be providing to everybody. So they'll get this. It's a really nice looking black 3-gallon bin, and they will get a supply of compostable bags. The Beautification Committee has received a donation from a supplier of a year's supply of these bags. They're quite expensive, but so that was a great gift that we got to start out. So they'll get the bin and they'll get the bags, and for $25 is going to be the cost for 1 year. And then the village is funding the bin where they take it to. So you just put that under your sink or on your counter, and when the bag is full, tie the bag up and take it down and throw it in the bin. It's very simple, so there will be no mess on your counter or in the container, nothing to wash out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it'll be pretty user-friendly.
Hmm. Why are the bags expensive? Are they fancy bags, or is there some kind of bag you need to have for this?
They're made out of corn.
Yeah.
And so that they compost, too.
Ah,
right?
Yeah.
Melissa may know more
about
it.
So they break down like food scraps will.
Wow.
So you need, a high heat environment for this type of material to break down. But it's basically these compostable bags are usually made of corn or soy. And talk about science. Mm-hmm. You know, that from what I understand, they basically extract the part of the plant, the chlorophyll part, I think that's how they create their green, right? The plants mm-hmm. create green. So it's got something to do with that. They extract something like that from it and create what they call a polymer, which is essentially kind of like a plastic, but made out of organic material. And so it's durable, kind of like a plastic bag would. It looks very similar to a plastic bag, although it's green. It says compostable on it.
Mm-hmm.
It holds up pretty well considering that it's made from a plant, and its purpose is to break down with no harmful residual whatsoever in the finished product.
Wow. So what will people be able to put in these compost bags? I mean, what kind of food material are we talking about? I mean, just about anything. We talked earlier about the restrictions with backyard composting where certain things might not be advisable, but what about this?
Really, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I think there's important things that they cannot put in it, like animal.
Correct. No animal pet waste.
Or cigarettes, or you know, I mean, and we will talk about that at our meeting, because oftentimes it is a way to, if you smoke, to dump your ashtray in there or whatever. So there are a few things. Is there something else, Melissa?
No raw meat. That raw meat is something that we steer away from because it is slightly different to make sure it processes and breaks down properly. But also it causes odor issues.
Mm.
And so that's something, again, this is a lot of people's first impression, and we just want to make the right one from the very beginning. The other common thing that we see that's kind of a common mistake from individuals is if you got a bag of lettuce that goes bad – You have to remove the lettuce from that plastic bag. So a lot of people look at that bad bag of lettuce and they're like, oh, this is compostable. But, oh, wait, not all of it is. Not that plastic.
Oh, I see. So you need just, to take it out of the plastic.
That's right. So that's just the biggest, I think, educational hurdle for some people. But usually once you tell them once, they're like, oh, yeah. You know, like, okay, yeah. And then they're conscious of it. And so this is a learning opportunity for a lot of people, and we realize that. And so we do everything we can to, when we see a mistake happen, we take a picture of it. We send that picture to the individual just to kind of remind them, hey, you know what? The carrots are totally awesome. Thank you so much. However, we can't take this plastic bag. And then they're like, okay, great. Because we're dealing with the willing and people that are actually really invested and want to see this succeed, they are willing then to change some of their habits so that they do it more appropriately next time.
And I think composting does change people's habits because they realize how much food isn't consumed then. You realize, you know, you're sort of oblivious to it if you're just throwing it out. But when you're actually making a conscious decision about a purposeful disposition of it, you think, wow. And then you think about what's thrown away at restaurants and what's thrown away at grocery stores and, you know, dumpsters full of food. You think, oh, my word. That's why landfills are filling up.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I think, I mean, like Linda and I are – both retired and our children are growing up, and so it's basically us and our spouse in the house. And so people, I know one of the gals from the village who was on our committee said, wow, I've got three teenagers in my house. I'll be filling that up. But again, a conscious effort, like Nan said, you look in that green bag and you say, wow, somehow when it goes into the trash, it's gone, you know, and you don't think about it. So
right, you don't, and you don't calculate, you don't see kind of the dimensions of all that is being disposed.
And the getting back to the Sturtevant Beautification Committee is a master gardener project of the UW Extension, and so our big focus is on education, and so this is our opportunity to educate along with the composting.
So Melissa Tashin, your part of this is, first of all, providing some of the stuff that facilitates this, and then you're also the person, I'm not sure you literally, but you or somebody will be coming and then picking up what is dropped off at this deposit site.
Yep. So we'll be coming. We do weekly pickups in the summer, regardless of volume, just because food is volatile and hotter temperatures. And then we do an every other week pickup in the winter, just again to kind of keep costs low for the residents and for everybody participating. And then we transport it to Caledonia and pay them to take the material and process it and turn it into the soil amendment. So we have, I'm really excited about this program because this is going to be our first self-drop pilot. And so one of the concerns with the self-drop pilot is contamination. How do you figure out who is doing something inappropriately, you know, to correct the behavior? So there's just like a lot of really awesome learning opportunities that are going to come from this this program. And just the these ladies here are fabulous, and I'm just so excited to get the opportunity to work with them. And it's really all about the willingness to share. So, you know, I'm not an expert. You know, I have a lot of experience in this field. I've made some mistakes, but I haven't made the same mistake twice. So every day is a new learning experience. We just approach every single situation with honesty. And, you know, as long as we're working with people that are willing to work with us and pivot when things need to be pivoted, we have successful programs. So we have a pilot with the Village of Shorewood where we pick up from 100 residents from their curb. And they actually just committed to a 3-year program where the village is willing to pay up to 700 carts for residents to be a part of the program.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Wow. And then the city of Milwaukee has 500 residents where we pick up curbside, and they're also interested in expanding. So for me, you know, the fact that residents are doing it correctly from the very beginning, that there's a lot of positive momentum behind it, and other residents residents want to be a part of the program as well is awesome. But I feel like there's also an economic value to it as well. You know, landfill tipping fees are high. And while as an entrepreneur, this is our opportunity to deal with this type of post-consumer material, these compostable products, the meat and the dairy and things like that. But really, from a municipality standpoint, it's kind of their obligation. This is their waste stream. And so for all of us to be able to work together and for these residents really to be leading the way and showing the municipalities that there is a different way to do this, and then the municipalities standing behind them going, wow, this isn't as expensive as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Wow, maybe, you know, where is the point where it's cost neutral? Is it cost neutral now? I don't have access to the municipality's budgets like that, but you know, all of that says something to me, too, that these existing programs are not going away and that more municipalities are willing to experiment with other opportunities that fit well within their community and their environment. I'm just thrilled to be a part of it, man. I'm just riding the wave.
And of
you know,
course.
There are costs and costs. So you always think about tipping fees and costs to the municipalities. But what are the costs of landfill after landfill closing? What are the costs of our soil becoming less and less, you know, nutritious and healthy? You have to think in terms of those kinds of costs, those further reaching costs.
Those hidden costs.
Those hidden costs. They're not really hidden.
Choose to ignore them.
We choose to ignore them.
Real quick, Melissa, we're talking almost exclusively here about residents, homeowners, and households. What about the matter of businesses? Real quick, are you seeing an uptick in interest in that whole sector?
Oh, yeah. We started with businesses first. That's kind of our low-hanging fruit. Organizations like restaurants whose sole purpose is food. So that's where we started 4 years ago. That's where actually I started 10 years ago, being in a waitress in the restaurant industry my whole life. You know, I was very aware and conscious of it. Working with businesses is how we started, and then those people working at those businesses are residents and communities, and they're like, whoa, how come I can do this at work, why can't I do this at home? And then we work with a lot of schools as well, and so these schools are now learning about proper source separation, where each bin is a destination. You know, the recycle bin goes to the recycle plant, the landfill bin goes to the landfill, trash is no longer just away. And so we're seeing that the kids then go back home to their families, and they're like, why are you throwing this away? Why are you throwing this in the landfill at school? We compost it, you know?
That's beautiful.
And so it's creating this awesome culture right now where people that are going to work are composting, where they go home, they're composting, where they play, they're composting, restaurants and things like that. So it's been really exciting to see that progress here in Milwaukee.
Fantastic. Melissa Tashin is the owner and operator of Compost Crusaders that are part of this pilot program for the food composting project in Sturtevant under the auspices of the Sturtevant Beautification Committee. So our thanks to Melissa Tashin and to Rose Woodruff and Linda Boucher. And more information will be forthcoming on this in the weeks to come. Very good. Great to have you here. What a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. Nan Calvert, thank you for arranging this. I know you have some announcements you want to share with us as we finish.
How many seconds do I have?
You have about 2 minutes.
I have Woo! 2 minutes. Oh, my gosh. I can be loquacious. Okay. Southeast Gateway Group of Sierra Club, as we know, they always have something wonderful going on. And they invite you to join them on a fall outing. They'll be hiking the Seven Bridges Trail in Grant Park. That's in South Milwaukee. It's part of the Milwaukee County Park System. On Sunday, November 11th, it starts on 1 p.m., if you haven't ever been to Grant Park, you really should go. It's one of the jewels of the Milwaukee County Park System. And I happen to know it has the most amazing display of spring ephemerals ever. Anyway, they're going on a 1 to 2 mile jaunt with views of Lake Michigan and access to the beach. There are opportunities to get on the Oak Leaf Trail if you're so inclined. They'll meet at the parking lot, which is on Grant Park Drive. To sign up for this, what they call a moderate to strenuous but relatively short hike, you can call 262-716-6955. Then, of course, the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center. They're having a Winter Birds Saturday, November 10th from 10 a.m. until 11:30. The wonderful Rick Fair will help you learn to identify the species of birds that overwinter in our area and how to attract them. You can hear about the really fascinating adaptations that birds go through and so that they can cope with winter conditions. There is a small fee of $5 for the class. If you want more information, just call or email the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center. And of course, every year we wait for Hawthorne Hollow's Holiday Boutique, Saturday, December 1st from 9 until 3 p.m. There are beautiful handcrafted gifts, wreaths, sprays from natural materials, all kinds of wonderful things, sweets like cookies and cakes and candies, all kinds of wonderful things. So don't forget to support our beautiful Hawthorne Hollow on their holiday boutique.
Thank you, Nan Calvert.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it so much and appreciate all that you do.